But joining me now is Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. Mike, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Brandon. Hello, millennials.
Hello, millennials. Hey, you've been watching the Kyle Rittenhouse case? Have you been watching that?
Yes.
Well, it's sad.
You mean
that.
The Soviet Stalin show trial?
Yes, absolutely. Say that one more time. What is it?
Soviet Stalinist show trial.
Absolutely.
It sort of indicates that the socialist movements in my generation, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic and the National Socialists in Germany, I mean, they weren't no-lose situations. As a matter of fact, very large numbers of people ended up dying in prison in both cases. And here's a kid who went to Kenosha to defend himself and a car dealership and is now ending up in trial, and if he loses, he's going to be put in prison for the rest of his life.
And so yet we did see the prosecutor earlier this week put his head in his hands because one of their witnesses, I guess it was a young man that ended up, correct me if I'm wrong, running up on Kyle and pointing
Gage
a gun at
Rosecrantz.
Him. Yeah, tell me about that.
Ended up, this was a guy who was the rioter who was shot by Kyle but who didn't die, who was injured in his arm. He conceded on the stand that when he was shot, he was pointing a Glock at Kyle Rittenhouse and that Kyle Rittenhouse shot him only in self-defense. I mean, if you go over the other rioters who were shot, you see the same story. Joseph Rosenbaum, first of all, chased Rittenhouse down the street, screaming that he was going to kill him, and in more colorful language, he was going to cut his expletive-deleted heart out. He knocked him down as he is climbing onto him, ready to seize Rittenhouse's gun. Rittenhouse fires. I should say, killing Rosenbaum. I should say that, in addition, Rosenbaum was bipolar and was certifiably crazy and surely would have killed Rittenhouse if Rittenhouse hadn't fired first. The third rioter who was shot was beating Rittenhouse with a skateboard. I fortunately have never been beaten with a skateboard, but I assume that after not too long a period of time, you end up either unconscious or dead. And so the prosecution has figured out it's not going so well for them in the trial. As a matter of fact, they are getting creamed. And as a matter of fact, when the jurors were asked to leave the courtroom, Rittenhouse was on the stand. He was weeping. And as some of the jurors passed him, they began weeping as well.
Oh, wow.
So the prosecution has now decided that the only out for them is to declare a mistrial. And so they've asked all sorts of out-of-bound questions about why Rittenhouse didn't waive his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination earlier to establish such and such a point. That is so unethical that that lawyer presumably could be disbarred for asking that line of questions. As a matter of fact, the judge went through the roof. And so things are not going well for the prosecution. I have a saying, and that is you don't pop the cork until they bang the gavel. But I think at this point things look reasonably good, and that's a good thing because, you know, the reason that lynch mob media is on this case and trying to get this kid sent away for life so vigorously is because they understand if the American public, if the American sheeple, as it were, can see that you can be sent away for life for defending yourself with a gun, then they will be deterred from doing the same. They will be convinced that only their overlords have the right to have deadly force in order to protect themselves. And increasingly, these overlords are going to be not police, but social workers.
So, of course, I started out the broadcast asking, because I saw a cartoon this afternoon. So I started out the show asking is if really what's on trial here isn't just Kyle Rittenhouse with self-defense, and you seem to be saying the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the reason why this show trial is going forth. That's the reason why the socialist lynch mob network, MSKGB, is on this case all the time, because they understand that the American people are increasingly concluding that the police, particularly in places like Minneapolis and Philadelphia and New York, aren't going to protect them, and so they're going to have to protect themselves.
Wow.
To the consternation of the liberal media, people are going out and buying guns in order to protect their family, and not just conservatives. People who were for gun control all their lives have all of a sudden decided that rather than have my wife and kid murdered, I'm going to buy a gun. And this makes the media so darn mad, and if Rittenhouse is acquitted, then the American people are going to look and say, yeah, I can defend my wife and my children and my home with a firearm just as he did.
And if he's found guilty, many of these people will have they will think twice about defending their family, and their hesitation will likely mean the end of their life and that of any of their family members that were depending on them to defend them from the rapist or the jihadist or the nut job.
Yeah, their hesitation could result in the loss of their family, loss of the life of their kid or their wife, or the loss of their home.
You know, we shouldn't have to think. I mean, any gun owner obviously needs to understand the absolute seriousness of and responsibility of owning a gun, and practice in their mind and come to a judgment in their mind about the issue of quickly responding to an imminent threat. But it's horrible that we're living in a culture now that makes people second guess whether they should defend themselves, their life, that of themselves, their family or friends. But that's exactly what the left wants. They want you to be afraid of owning a gun. They want you to be afraid of the lawfare. They want you to be afraid of the prosecution, so that you're willing to just go ahead and say, kill me, because I don't want to go through the hell of defending myself in trial and being ruined financially.
That's the intent. If you can't pull the trigger on your gun when a crazy man is lunging at you, grabbing your gun and telling you that he's going to kill you and cut your expletive-deleted heart out, then when can you fire that gun?
And even with this situation, and we pray he is found innocent, that he's acquitted, his life will never be the same, will it?
No. On the good side, I think a lot of conservatives are looking at him as a hero and as a reluctant hero. Certainly, you don't want to end up in that situation, but as someone who reasserted his right to live in the face of people who were committed to his not living.
Yeah. Any other news you need to update us on while you're here,
Mike? There are plenty of things happening. There's a reconciliation bill, which is, as we predicted, anti-gun. There is a Supreme Court case which is being decided, which probably will be decided our way and will vindicate the right to carry outside of the house. So I think, by and large, hopefully, things are going well for the Second Amendment under the circumstances.
Well, it's only because people like you are fighting at gunowners.org, gunowners.org. That's the right website, correct?
Yes, that's the right website.
Gunowners.org, gunowners.org. And as always, we look forward to getting you back on, Mike, to give us an update. And if there's an update needed before I contact you, you contact me, will you? Because we consider you our Second Amendment correspondent here at Lindell TV.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America and gunowners.org checking in, gunowners.org.